This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. This past February, Governor McCrory signed the Unemployment Insurance Reform Bill into law. The law cut weekly benefits and slashed the number of weeks that an unemployed worker can get benefits from 26 to as little as 12 weeks. And that's not all. States that change their programs are disqualified from receiving extended federal benefits. And that makes North Carolina the first state in the nation to lose those payments. Laura Leslie is Capital Bureau Chief for WRAL. She's been reporting on North Carolina's loss of federal unemployment benefits and joins us now. Hello, Laura.
Hey, Frank.
Tell us about this law that was passed in February.
Well, the law was in response to, the reform package was in response to a debt. North Carolina employers owed the federal government more than $2.5 billion because our unemployment taxes at the state level were not sufficient to cover the unemployment claims that were coming in during the recession. In those cases, the federal government kicks in money and then the state pays, state employers pay it back over time. And that's what happened here. North Carolina's debt, I think, was rated about the third highest in the country. We had a lot of debt because we just didn't have a lot of money coming in to our state unemployment fund. So now we have to pay that debt back. And the way that works is that the federal government looks at the state's debt once a year in every November. And if the state owes money, then they raise the taxes on employers to pay the debt back a little at a time. Well, this was an attempt to try to pay that back faster so the taxes wouldn't keep going up on employers for the next 5 years. This is supposed to finish it up, pay it off in, I think, 3 years, 2 or 3 years. So, you know, basically what it does is it charges employers a little bit more money. They're going to pay, I think, somewhere around $20 million, somewhere above that, more in unemployment taxes. But workers are going to get a lot less. The fund is going to be paying out a lot less because we're going to cap benefits and, as you said, reduce the number of weeks that they're available.
So that was the whole law. It was the idea to pay this debt off faster, tax companies a little bit more, reduce benefits a little bit. Why does that result in the loss of federal extended benefits?
It's something called a maintenance of effort clause. And what that means is when the federal government is giving your state money, they are giving your state money under the understanding that your state's not going to turn around and cut its own spending on that thing, right? So in order for them to be willing to give us extended unemployment benefits, the states have to agree not to cut their own benefits.
So
North Carolina did not. North Carolina cut its benefits.
So you change, you cut the benefits, and what they don't want, of course, federal government doesn't want to say, well, we'll give you more, and that just compensates for you paying less. So they don't want a shell game to go on. So then they. So this sounds like a reasonable idea, though. We pay things off a lot faster. Was there any way to avoid the elimination of extended benefits?
Well, it was a question of timing, really, when you come right down to it. What happened is that the state lawmakers had been talking about wanting to do this. And they, you know, had been kind of kicking around different ideas for reform and reading studies and et cetera. They were not expecting Congress to extend the unemployment benefits again at the end of this past year. When that option started to, you know, be sort of talked about, you know, they said, well, you know, maybe we can put it off until January. But the business community wanted to move ahead with it as of July 1st. They did not want to wait until the end of the year, and it wasn't possible. The state couldn't get a waiver because we didn't have a bill filed at the time those unemployment benefits went forward, were renewed on January 1st because our legislature doesn't come in until the middle of January. So it was perhaps an unfortunate coincidence of timing, but probably most unfortunate for the 70,000 people who will not be getting any more checks.
And does this mean that they lose? So first of all, you answered my next question. 70,000 people in the state of North Carolina are affected by this. Are they entirely cut off, or is it extended benefits, and is that the only check they're getting?
That is probably the only check they're getting. The way it works under the state system is you get 26 weeks of state benefits. That's your basic unemployment insurance. After that runs out, you're eligible for the federal extended unemployment compensation. Now, right now in North Carolina, 160, this is as of the middle of June, 161,000 people are filing for unemployment overall. 70,000 of those people are getting federal checks because they're extended. They've run through their state checks. So not quite half, but close to half the people who are getting unemployment checks in North Carolina are not getting them.
And these are mostly people who were laid off during the recession following the 2008 collapse.
This is anybody who has lost their job, was laid off prior to January 1st of this year, pretty much.
So how does this affect the state in general? I know unemployment rates vary across the state. Obviously, there are some areas of the state that are going to be affected more than others, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking at the numbers from May for different counties. And, you know, looking at places like Scotland County, where the unemployment rate is 16.2%. You know, or 14.1 in Edgecombe County, 15.3 in Graham. You know, the state's overall seasonally adjusted rate right now is 8.8%, but that doesn't paint the whole picture for you. You know, and so what you find is, you know, I'm looking at the list of how many people are getting these benefits in different counties. You know, in Scotland County, for example, 371 people are receiving these federal unemployment checks that will no longer be receiving them. You know, that may not sound like a really big deal, but it is in local, it can be in local economies, especially if those local economies aren't terribly robust and there's a lot of people out of work. You know, there's money, that federal money that's coming in, which, by the way, is not part of our debt. That's separate. That federal money is going to grocery stores, gas stations, big box stores, you know, to put clothes on the kids and food on the table, you know, that money is not going to be coming into those economies anymore.
And when you say not part of that debt, you're saying that those extended unemployment benefits don't go on the tab. That's money that just comes from the federal government. And we're talking about what, $50 million? Was that it?
No, it's about $20 million. If you look at an average benefit of $296 a week, and you multiply that by 70,000 people or so, that's $20.7 million a week.
Was this
a
partisan issue when it came up before the legislature?
Actually, there was a Democrat or two that voted with the Republicans on it. Generally, it was pretty much along party lines.
All right. And do we know how many businesses are affected by this? Are these local businesses or any company that does business in the state?
Well, North Carolina employers are going to have to, most of them are going to have to pay a little bit more in unemployment, but they're also going to have to pay every time it comes to the end of the year and the state still owes money. So, you know, that is going to ratchet up on employers. And, you know, supporters of this say, you know, in the long run, that is going to cost the state jobs. You know, employers aren't going to employ more people if they have to keep paying higher and higher taxes on them.
Right. There are four other states who have also changed their unemployment benefits, but we're the only one that has lost the federal extension. Why is that?
That is because, as I was saying, we did not have a bill filed at the time that they were extended. So trying to get a waiver that's sort of the requirement. And the department, the acting Secretary of Labor said, I mean, there's nothing you could do. The waiver just wasn't available to us. And our lawmakers were aware that this was going to happen. This was a choice that they made.
So they knew that there was an extension coming and that they needed to file this. I understand that some of them are actually blaming Senator Kay Hagan. Is that right?
Yes. Well, they're trying to, but the fact remains she's not exactly in a leadership position to tell the Senate leadership how to write their budget. And, you know, again, it comes down to what the laws are or what the rules are for that federal program. And as I said before, it's an unfortunate coincidence of timing that we did not have a bill filed at that point.
Well, unfortunate, but as you suggest, it could have been filed. I mean, it wasn't an accident. Somebody made a decision not to file it at the state legislature, right?
Well, no, the session hadn't started yet.
So they couldn't file it, and there wasn't anything on the record, and therefore you'd go ahead. So I guess the other option would have been to wait a year and to get the extended benefits for the full year and then do this again next year.
Yes, that would have been an option. And that was one that at least the House leadership was considering initially, was putting this off until January 1st. But there's a lot of pressure from the folks in the business community to get this started because of the size of the debt and because, you know, at this point we're still compiling debt, right? We have to rebuild our whole trust fund in addition to paying off this debt. You know, so they're saying we need to get our house in order and get these changes put, you know, and it's just too bad and it's unfortunate for
now
the 70,000 or so people.
I have to try to understand this a little bit better, though, because the bill that employers are going to be paying, that does go up. So they are paying more. What's the difference if they start paying more in 2014 or start paying more now? I missed that point.
Well, they're going to start paying. The thing is, they're going to start paying more, period, and under the state, although not a whole lot more. But the federal government is going to keep raising their taxes every year that the state owes money. So $21 per employee, I think, is the figure per year that the state owes money. So if the state can get itself out of debt in 3 years instead of 4.5 or 5, then they will have to pay less in those federal increases.
The initiative came from state lawmakers. The governor signed on. Was it a surprise at all that Governor McCrory agreed to this?
He was very clear from the get-go that he, you know, thinks that this is the right thing to do. I know he told us just last week, you know, that he says, you know, he feels like he's taking a risk here, but he feels like, you know, this is going to help get people into jobs. You know, and again, I mean, you know, you can argue, you know, are these changes going to create jobs immediately? I don't think anybody is saying that they will immediately down the road. But in the meantime, you've got these people that are stuck in these, you know, 16.2% unemployment counties. And you think, you know, it's great to talk about getting people into jobs, but what if the jobs just aren't there?
Well, we will argue all of that in the moments ahead. We're going to take a break right now and come back and talk more about this with more guests on The State of Things. Right now, we're talking to Laura Leslie, Capital Bureau Chief at WRAL. And you're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow, talking about how North Carolina has become the first state in the nation to lose extended federal unemployment benefits. Laura Leslie with us. She is Capital Bureau Chief for WRAL-TV, joined by Bill Rowe and Mitch Kokai. They're going to talk more about this and what it means to the state of North Carolina. Bill Rowe is General Counsel and Director of Advocacy for the North Carolina Justice Center. Mitch Kokai is Director of Communications at the John Locke Foundation. Bill, Mitch, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Good to be here, Frank.
Mitch, tell us your thoughts on this this law and its impact on the state of North Carolina.
Well, certainly you got a great explanation from Laura about the basics of why this law came about. The idea behind it is that no economy in North Carolina is any different, ever grew more healthy and productive by paying employable adults not to take jobs. And with this debt of $2.5 billion that the General Assembly saw as the Republicans took over the session in 2011, they said, look, we've got to do something about this debt. They worked with the North Carolina Chamber and the business community, as Laura mentioned, to come up with a plan that would pay off this debt more quickly than just allowing the federal government to continue to raise tax rates on employers, which would discourage future job growth. And as Laura pointed out very clearly, one of the problems with this cutoff on federal benefits is that there was a timing issue and also an issue of actions in Raleigh versus actions in Washington, D.C. And I think your questions pointed out a lot of the confusion that most people have when they hear this. They think, oh, the state government is cutting off unemployment benefits. No, the folks who are losing unemployment benefits at this point already exhausted state government benefits. They are now losing the extended federal employment benefits that went beyond those state government benefits, and that is largely because of that fiscal cliff deal that took place that North Carolina legislature did not have a chance to try to get in and get some sort of waiver for North Carolina. But the key piece that people should realize is that Congress, if it wanted to, could change this today. If the members of Congress and our congressional delegation saw that this was creating huge hardships for people and that something needed to be done, they could go in and today and say, look, North Carolina, we'll give you this waiver. We know that your state employee benefits are changing going forward, but the people who are dealing with the old system, who are on extended federal benefits, we're going to help them out and extend and give them the same sorts of waivers we've given to other states that did not change the size of their benefits, but did change the length of benefits that they provided to unemployed.
All right,
workers,
Bill Rowe, what do you think about what the North Carolina legislature did?
Well, it was unnecessary. Mitch is right. It didn't have to be this way, but what we would say is that January 1, 2014 could have been the effective date for these cuts, whether you agree with them or not. If we had done that, if the bill that passed had that in there, then we wouldn't be cutting off these benefits. And the legislature knew that. It was offered as amendments, it was discussed, and they did it anyways. And it really would be unprecedented. There's a number of states that are brought up as examples of places that got waivers, but what's often left off for those four or five who have done it, those states, is that they passed their law and the federal law was in effect, like it was in effect here in North Carolina, and they made their effective date after the bill was going to expire. And then when the bill was renewed, they asked for the waiver. for North Carolina to be just like those four or five states, we would have put an effective date of January 1, 2014. So there could be lots of finger pointing here. What we see is 70,000 people losing benefits, maybe another additional 100,000 losing access, and there's an easy fix for it. Saying let's go to Congress and get it done doesn't seem reasonable when the North Carolina General Assembly passed a law that made it effective July 1, and they knew that would cut off benefits at that point.
I'm guessing the North Carolina General Assembly can undo that, too. They're still in session, so they can write a new law, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. They can do it any time between now and the end of the year.
Mitch, you suggested something earlier in part of your answer. You said there's no state ever grew economically by encouraging people to not look for jobs. Are you suggesting that unemployment benefits don't have an economic stimulus effect, that they're not good for the economy to put money in people's pocket?
They certainly aren't the stimulus that they have been touted to be by some. I mean, the idea is that people who get these benefits do spend the money in the economy, but this is money that had to be taken from somewhere to be given as unemployment benefits. It does not have a stimulative effect in the sense of growing the economy. If it did, it would make sense to put everyone on unemployment. I mean, that's the argument that you seem to be hearing from some, is that, oh, you know, these unemployment benefits, they crank up the economy, they get these businesses moving. Well, if they really had that sort of stimulative effect, put everyone on unemployment benefits. And
I don't think anybody's making that argument. I think the argument, though, has to do with getting people through the time when there are not sufficient jobs. And we're still at the point where we've got, I think the stat that I've seen is three people unemployed for every job that's being created. So, I mean, to blame people for sitting around on unemployment or say everybody should be on unemployment is a little facile. I mean, you have to have a job to get.
Well, just a little fact-checking. In fact, unemployment benefits provide about 74% of the poverty threshold, so they're not a replacement for jobs. So, no, you wouldn't put everybody on unemployment. Bill, talk about the cost to businesses, because there is. I mean, this tax keeps going up on businesses. Doesn't that somehow suppress the economy? Talk about that.
Well, and one thing Laura mentioned in her intro is that we got into this place because we in North Carolina really much led the country in cutting unemployment insurance taxes for our businesses. And at some points in the last 20 years, we've probably been near the lowest tax state on unemployment insurance. There's a lesson to be learned there, obviously, is that while times were good, we were reducing those taxes. And then when recessions hit in 2001 and this terrible one in 2008, where there were lots of people unemployed, we didn't have the resources at that point to get back to pay off. And so that's why they're now in a debt. So
How much are we talking about here in terms of the increase?
Well, what the state increase in House Bill 4 is minimal. We raised taxes for those who are paying zero. We're at a zero rate. So we had a number of employers who were paying nothing. They went up to, I think it's 0.06% of what their taxable wage base will be. And then those folks at the high end who are at the max, they'll pay an additional 0.06%. And then in between, there's some who will pay a little more, and there'll be some who will pay no more taxes.
What about those federal hits, the increase that keeps going up as long as we owe money? How much is that?
Generally paying the debt back by the cuts made to benefits and the federal request for taxes. And their taxes are $21 per worker per year. So an employer with three workers will pay $63 an employee per year. The lap be cumulative, and I think what the legislature was trying to do was to cut that cumulative effect off as early as it could possibly do it.
Right. And just to add some figures to that, I mean, just to clarify what Bill was just saying, it's not just $21 a year, though. It's $21 additional dollars every year.
So right. Per employee,
you're looking at $84 per employee. In 2014, you're looking at 105, 2015, 126. That does add up for a small employer.
Right. But Mitch, let's go back to a point that Laura made earlier. Those businesses are in business. And while this may sting a little bit in the short run, those taxes will end. The loss of unemployment benefits is forever. And those are people who are the most vulnerable. They aren't working. They are not in business the way those businesses are. Isn't this a short-term fix? And don't we all have to, if we're working, bear a little bit of the burden so that others can not go without anything?
Oh, I think everyone agrees that unemployment insurance in concept is great, and if the system works in the best possible way, then that's something you have to have for a changing dynamic economy, because jobs are always being created, jobs are always being destroyed. You don't want to leave people on the sidelines. The problem is that when you have these extensions, and they continue to be extended, you are encouraging some people, not all, because most people who are on unemployment want to get more jobs, they're actively searching, but you're encouraging some people to say, look, here's a job, I don't particularly like this one, let me hold out a little bit longer to get something that's a little bit better for me. And I'm going to read you one real quick quote. Research suggests that unemployment benefits lead some recipients not to look as hard for jobs, and the loss of benefits may have pushed some job seekers to accept work they might otherwise have rejected. That sounds like a conservative talking point. It actually comes from Gary Bertless, who is an economist at the Brookings Institute.
And, yeah, but when was that?
This was in an article in the Wall Street Journal back in January, January 10th of 2013.
Well, I just want to point out, I mean, I'm looking at a report from the Congressional Joint Economic Committee on this very subject, and their report says, and I'll quote it, "The best evidence suggests that during the current economic downturn, both the unemployment rate and the duration were minimally impacted by unemployment insurance and the extension of benefits. To the extent that the unemployment rate rises, unemployment insurance may be providing an enormous social benefit, preventing people from dropping out of the labor force altogether and permanently relying on more costly programs." So that the thought is, if you don't have anything, you become permanently unemployed and then go on more costly programs. And that's, 2010, looking at the current recession.
Yeah, there's certainly a problem with people who are on long-term unemployment having a problem getting back in the workforce, which is one of the unintended consequences of extending federal unemployment insurance. Now, Laura made this point, and I think you echoed it, Frank. You don't want to see people suffer. I mean, this was a bad recession, and we don't want to see people suffer. But if you allow folks to stay out of the labor force for extended periods of time with these unemployment benefits, you're making it harder and harder for them to get jobs again. I mean, we would love to see these 70,000 people lose their unemployment benefits because they get jobs. But if you're making it harder and harder for people to become employable again because they stay out of the workforce, that's an unintended consequence and one that needs to be addressed.
Bill Rode, are we encouraging people to stay unemployed?
Well, we're not, and it's sort of absurd to think that. Like we said, there's three unemployed workers for every job out there. There's no one who's going to dispute, and you can listen to the debate this afternoon at the state legislature about the tax overhaul system. We need to create jobs. There's a jobs deficit. That's why people are out of work, because we don't have enough jobs. It's not because of unemployment insurance. And just as an anecdote, and you can look at statistics back in the 1990s, when there were a fair number of jobs in North Carolina, and we had basically the same unemployment insurance system that we had until a few days ago, and maximum weeks of 26 weeks, we used to lead the country. And when people got laid off and when they went back to work, they were on unemployment very short periods of time. And that's because people want to work. Unemployment insurance only provides you maybe 50% of what you were earning, if you're lucky. And if you're not looking for work and you're not accepting jobs that are made available to you, you can lose those benefits. So the incentives are all there to go back to work. If you talk to anybody who's unemployed, they want to go back to work. And it's just, it's amazing to think that by helping people when we've had this tremendous economic downturn, that we're encouraging them to stay out of work. It's the last thing anybody's going to tell you that who's been out there struggling trying to find a job in this economy.
Mitch Kokai, what about the point that unemployment, the taxes, state unemployment taxes were too low, and the reason it feels like a crisis to us and the reason there's such a big debt is because companies in North Carolina weren't paying as much as most of the rest of the country.
Now, I think one point that Bill makes that where he's right on point is that during the flush times, when past General Assemblies decided to make major cuts in the unemployment insurance tax, they probably were being too short-sighted and should have said, there's going to be another economic downturn. We haven't solved the boom and bust cycle, so it'd be good to keep some money in the bank to deal with these issues. Now, I think it was true that at some point that tax rate was too high, because the huge amount of surplus that was in the fund before we hit the Great Recession was there. And so the initial reason for cutting the tax rate was because there was much larger surplus than anyone could have anticipated being needed. But still, cutting the rate too much probably was true. And that's one of the problems the current General Assembly is having to deal with. And as Laura mentioned, trying not only to repay this debt, but also to rebuild the Unemployment Insurance Reserve Fund so that you can keep only these state dollars from the state employers to pay for this and not have to borrow from the feds again.
Bill, what about the argument that Mitch made earlier, too, that this money doesn't just come from the money tree? I mean, whether it's federal dollars or state dollars, it comes from people who live in this state, in this case, employers. And in some ways that makes us less attractive to businesses and less likely to create the kind of jobs that you say gave us such a robust economy in the 90s.
Well, what we understand is that unemployment insurance taxes make up a small piece of the total compensation package for workers. It may be something like 0.1% or something of that total package. So it is not a huge hit on employers. I know it keeps getting talked about that way, but it is not a huge hit on employers. And if we were anywhere near the middle of the pack in our taxes from the 1990s going forward, we wouldn't have been in this shape right now that we're in. And so we're not saying we have to tax people beyond what other states were doing, but we should never have been at the lowest level. What we did with House Bill 4, though, to fix this problem was not to fix that tax system, but was rather to dismantle the unemployment insurance safety net. We've made cuts to benefit amounts and the way we'll calculate benefits that no other state has done. And so we're basically making up the debt by cutting benefits permanently, and we're paying off the debt with taxes that are mainly coming from the federal government that will expire once the debt is paid. So there's nowhere near where we're at a balance on any of this, and would agree that you have to have balance. But the one thing we have not done in any of this discussion, and I think what's happened now as of June 30th with people losing their benefits, is nothing's been balanced, and it's all been borne mostly by people who are unemployed and the most vulnerable right now.
Mitch?
Well, I think the key thing to keep in mind is that there is a balance. The employers didn't say, oh, don't raise our taxes at all. What happened was they said, okay, we're willing to accept somewhat of a tax increase, but please don't make us bear the whole burden. What happens with the change in the benefits going forward in North Carolina is that the maximum benefits are more closely aligned in North Carolina now with our surrounding states, and the length of benefits will be on a sliding scale. When the economy is in the tank, they could be up to 20 weeks, which is still, talking about almost 5 months. And if the economy is really booming, then the unemployment benefits last as little as 12 weeks, which is probably a good idea when the economy is booming. You don't want people sitting around saying, well, I've got 12 weeks to come up with a decision. You want to get them back using their job skills, contributing to the economy, contributing to their families. And that's something that sounds like a good idea for folks who want to get the economy moving.
Still, it is something that balance, that agreement to take a little higher tax, now, might have been something they could have postponed, and we could have kept the benefits in place and still sort of taken that balanced approach, right? I mean, just hold off for 6 months. Mitch?
I would agree with you on that.
I just wanted to follow up on that, but I'm going to ask Laura Leslie, because that was a question, the balanced approach. Laura, let me ask you, politically, the governor said, he's taking a risk here. How much of a risk? What is any anticipation of what the political fallout might be?
Well, if you've been watching the national and international media, you're getting a taste of it. North Carolina has been in the headlines in the BBC, The Guardian, MSNBC, Fox, New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, NBC, because we are the first state to do this, to cut off these people, right? And a lot of people are watching to see what happens with these folks, and if it turns out that these people are able to get jobs and that going forward, we don't have a lot of people who are destitute because of the lower benefits going forward, then I think he will certainly have, some credit to take. And so will the Republican leadership down here in the House and Senate. But if the economy doesn't pick up you know, and the jobs aren't available, and this starts to become a real serious social problem, then he's going to be the one sitting in downtown Raleigh, where lawmakers won't be here, right, later this year. He'll be the one sitting here who will probably have to take the heat. So, I mean, in that sense, I would say he is taking a risk.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Laura Leslie, WRAL's Capital Bureau Chief. Bill Rowe is General Counsel and Director of Advocacy for the North Carolina Justice Center. Mitch Kokai, Director of Communications at the John Locke Foundation. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks.
Coming up next, the co-authors of the new book, Hunting Che. Stay tuned.